Let us pray. Blessed are you, holy God. When you said, "Let there be light," there was light and it was good. When your people fled from oppression, you led them with a pillar of fire. In Jesus Christ, your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We praise you, God of light. Shine in our lives with the light of Christ, that we might heed your word and walk in your light always. We pray in the name of him who is our light and our strength and our salvation, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson on this Epiphany Sunday comes from the gospel according to Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. It's on page 528 in your pew Bibles, and it's here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. And here ends the lesson from Isaiah. The lesson from the Gospel for Epiphany is always Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, and it's page 682 and here. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here it's the lesson from the Gospel. And finally, the lesson from the second half of the New Testament comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and it's on page 828 and here. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." And here ends the lesson from Ephesians. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to begin and end my sermon with a poem. This one is written by a Canadian liturgist and poet from British Columbia, and it's called Place in Me a Star on this Epiphany Sunday. Place in me a star, my God, that I might burn brightly with your love. Explode in me that I might burst with a possibility of your grace. Shine so brightly in my words and my actions that the world might see only you. Make me an epiphany, my God. So we celebrate Epiphany today. This is the last day of Christmas season. It's also the beginning of a new season. It's a perfect way to end Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, with the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. It's also a perfect way to begin the new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year, with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so from now until the beginning of Lent, the season of Lent, the preparation for Easter is early this year. Easter is April 1st. So Ash Wednesday, which is 40 days plus Sundays counting back from Easter, Ash Wednesday this year is Valentine's Day, February 14th. And so we have about 6 weeks between now until Lent, and we're in the season of Epiphany. And so we'll be talking every week about who is Jesus Christ. And today's answer is Jesus is the morning star. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but before we talk about the morning star, we need to talk about the wise men. There's a wonderful Chinese painter, his name is He Xi, and we can't get permission to put the artwork on our bulletins, but I can use it on the PowerPoint slide. He's just an amazing painter. So the wise men are who we're talking about today. The Bible doesn't say there's three, right? Tradition says there's three because there were three gifts, but the Bible doesn't say they were three. The Bible says wise ones from the east. So scholars think that was probably what was Persia, far in the east. They were sages. They were probably astrologers. So astrology now is kind of a woo-woo thing. I don't know, we would call it a science. But back then, astrology was a science, and men studied the stars and learned from the stars. Tradition has given them names, Gaspar and Melchior and Balthazar, although the names aren't in the Bible. Tradition says one of them had dark skin. That's not in the Bible either. All we know is that there were three wise ones who came to see Jesus bearing gifts. But 1,000 years before Jesus, in the time of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied, he made promises to a people who were lost in darkness and exile and sorrow. Isaiah spoke of the reality that they all faced, that darkness was over the earth and thick darkness over the peoples. But Isaiah's promise was that the glory of the Lord would rise and kings would come to the morning star, and that those who had sons and daughters, the daughters were carried on the hip, little daughters, those children and those people would be filled with joy, and all the world would be drawn to the bright light that shone from the stable. Isaiah spoke of camels and kings and gifts. Camels were something that only the rich could ride. Remember when Mary and Joseph left Nazareth and went to Bethlehem, they rode on a donkey. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, he rode on a donkey. But the kings came from the east on camels, and they brought gifts to the child. 1,000 years after Isaiah spoke of their coming. They began with Herod. Herod wasn't a righteous king. We know about Herod. And when the kings arrived in Jerusalem, because logically they went to Jerusalem first, that's where the palace was, all of Jerusalem was disturbed, the text says, and disturbed is a mild word for how stirred up Jerusalem was. Jerusalem was very agitated, because they spoke of a new king who would be born, and the reigning king could only interpret that as a threat. And so the king Herod summoned all the chief priests and scribes, all the religious scholars, and asked them, "What do you know about this new king?" And they found a prophecy in Micah, and we quoted it here. "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so Herod, because he was a crafty king, said, well, go and find this child to the wise men. And when you find him, let me know about it so that I may go and worship him too. One of the stories we didn't tell this Christmas season, but we do sometimes, is that on one of the Sundays between Christmas and New Year's, we often read the passage that tells of Herod sending his soldiers to Bethlehem with instructions to kill all the baby boys 2 years and under. So that was Herod's response to the prophecy from Micah about the baby who was born. He didn't want to worship that king as the wise men did. But the wise men continued to follow the star they had seen, and they followed it all the way to the child. We don't know if they came to a stable. Maybe they did, but it's significant that when Herod commanded his soldiers to go and kill children, he commanded them to kill everyone 2 years old and under. So Joseph and Mary may have still been living in Bethlehem. But the wise men followed the star. And when they got there, the text says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. With everything that was in them, they worshiped the child. They fell on their knees, how you worship a god. And they brought gifts, three gifts, gold and incense and myrrh. Scripture doesn't give us an explanation, but through the centuries, people have understood that the kings brought gold for a king. And frankincense, which is a incense burning that only a priest would use and burn it as to God. And myrrh, which is a balm and ointment with which you anoint a body before burial. So the kings brought significant gifts, gold for a king and frankincense for God and myrrh for one born to die. And then Matthew says they listened to the Spirit, and instead of going back to Jerusalem and talking to Herod, they went back home by another way. So this is a very wonderful, ancient story. Many of our children have dressed up. We have some great king costumes here in this church. Many of us have dressed up as kings and queens and played camels and in that sweet story. But there has to be meaning for us if we're still celebrating Epiphany, which means revelation or showing, 2,000 years later. Paul the Apostle, probably 50, 60, 70 years after Jesus was born, wrote to the church in Ephesus about a mystery. Now we have to stop and talk about mystery. So I think for us, mystery means Agatha Christie. Right? Or now I'm going to show my age, Columbo, right? Anybody remember that show? Or what's the one with Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote? Remember that story? Some of us do. Or John Grisham writes good mystery stories. I don't know if the current, you know, cop shows that are on all the time, like NCIS and that ilk, I don't know if those are mysteries. But how we understand a mystery is there's something that's happening, and as the plot develops, something, a crime happens or something happens, and then there's good people and bad people, and then they keep searching out the end of the mystery, and at the end of the book or the story or the television show or the movie, it's all figured out, right? That's how we understand mystery. Paul the Apostle used mystery in a very different way. So in this text, he says the mystery is comprehension, is understanding that God in Jesus Christ wants to be known to everyone. The Gentiles, Paul says, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That word gospel is in Greek euangelion, which is evangel, right? It's where our word angel comes from. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That everyone together, for Paul, the deepest divide between humanity was between Jew and Gentile, right? I think in our world today, that's no longer the deepest thing that divides us. We can name some of those. We've seen some of those in our national history in this last year. Black and white, old and young, male and female, rich and poor, every thing that you can think of that divides human beings from one another. Paul says the mystery that's being revealed is that we are heirs together, we belong together, And we are members of one body and sharers together in all the promises of the gospel in Christ Jesus that we see. That the light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. That all of us together will see the morning star, will see the light of Christ that shines on everyone. So in the gospel story, we see the Magi, the wise ones, the kings, who at that time and place would have been the ultimate example of a pagan person, right? Someone as alien from the Jews and as different as they could imagine. Those were the ones after the shepherds who came and brought gifts and worshiped the child. So the gospel story has the Gentiles, the wise ones, the Magi, bringing gifts to the child. The epistle, the letter from Paul, the New Testament text, says that the gifts, the light of Christ, are for the Gentiles, for everyone. So Matthew tells us that the Gentiles come to worship the child. Paul tells us that the gift of the child is for all people. But the gifts are the very beginning of the adventure that is life as a believer in Jesus. So it's been about 10 days, 2 weeks, I guess, since Christmas, 2 weeks till tomorrow. And some of us are still using the gifts that we were given, right? Or they're still in our home and they're not broken yet. Paul and I are going to have a second or third Christmas with our grandbabies on Tuesday because we decided not to spend money shipping stuff back and forth. We're just going to take a big extra suitcase with presents, right? So Colin, my 3-year-old grandson, will have another Christmas. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing his delight in this really cool dinosaur light-up thing that I bought him that actually is for an 8-year-old. So my son might not be so happy with me. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to sharing that gift with Colin. But the gifts are just a sign and a symbol, as the kids got so well in the kids' message. The gifts are the sign and symbol of the love that God has for us and that we have for each other, and the very beginning of the adventure that is life as a believer in Jesus. So seeing Jesus as the morning star means that we see Jesus shining on everyone, and we see the revelation that all of us, before we are born, are in the very heart of God. It doesn't matter who we are. Chugach, Eagle River, Alaska, United States, all over the world, all of us, before we are born, are in the very heart of God. And the second part of that is that we are called to reveal God's heart to the world. That's our mission. That's our mandate on this first Sunday of the new year. Every year, God gives us a new 365 days to do something new. And yeah, we bring with us from the old year all the problems and sorrows and baggage and struggles. But we have this bright new year in which the morning star is shining to give ourselves to the world and reveal God's heart to the world. There was a man called Howard Thurman. He was an African-American philosopher and educator and theologian. He was active in the civil rights movement. He was born in 1899 and didn't die till 1981. And he wrote a poem called When the Song of the Angels is Stilled. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, and when the shepherds are back with their flocks, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and to make music in the heart. That's the work of Christmas. In this congregation, for many years now, we've had a tradition of star words. And so when you leave today, I'll give you a word. And I respectfully suggest that if you don't like your word, there might be a reason for it. So I'll give you a word, and if you want to trade, we can trade, okay? But our prayer is that these words help you to do that work, to shine that light, to reveal God's heart to the world. Alleluia. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and almighty God, we thank you for the morning star, for Jesus Christ, our light and our salvation. For your light that shone in Bethlehem so many years ago and that has never stopped shining since the beginning of time. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would show yourself to us, that we might show you to others and to reveal your heart into your world. We pray in your Son's holy name. Amen.